Part 3. Chapter 17. Harvest, February 22, 2525. From the pitched metal roof of Gladsheim's maglev terminal, Avery had a clear view of the alien warship, a purple pear-shaped blot in the sky above the fields northwest of town. Avery squinted behind his gold-tinted glasses as white-hot plasma erupted from the warship's prow. A waterfall of ionized gases splashed down in a boiling veil. Then the ship inched forward, leaving a blackening plume of smoke. Avery had witnessed the same event over and over again for the last 2 hours. There were hundreds of inky plumes drifting eastward in the warship's wake, each one representing the smoldering remains of a remote homestead. Avery didn't know how many civilians had died in this, the aliens' first attack on Harvest, but he guessed it must be thousands. "Movement!" Burns' voice crackled from a speaker in Avery's helmet. "Tower at the end of the terminal." The red-roofed terminal was part of a much larger depot of sheds and sidings that was longer east to west than Gladsheim's main street. 10 blocks of brightly painted, flat-roofed stores and restaurants, as well as a modest 3-story hotel. East of the main street, the town was all Jotun repair shops and farm supply warehouses, massive corrugated metal boxes arranged in a grid of wide asphalt streets that stretched out onto the plain of Ida. Avery scanned his battle rifle east. Flashing by in his optical scope, the main street buildings looked like books on a library shelf, more tightly packed than they actually were. He stopped when he reached the thick polycrete post that supported Gladsheim's water tower, easily the town's tallest structure. Jaw clenched, Avery watched a pair of rust-colored, oversized insects skitter up the overhang of the tower's inverted conical tank.
"How many kinds of these damn things are there?" Byrne cursed.
Avery watched the insects flip themselves on top in a tremor of transparent wings. He momentarily lost sight of them, but soon they appeared at the edge of the tank. Wings tucked under their hardened shoulder plates, the creatures blended in perfectly with the tank's rain-stained polycrete. For now, this was a good thing. If any civilians spotted the bugs, Avery knew it would start a panic. Close to 2,000 refugees packed a narrow gravel yard between the terminal and the main street. Families from farms around Gladsheim who had managed to escape the alien bombardment. Some groaned or wailed as the roaring hiss of the latest plasma strike echoed across the yard, but most remained quietly huddled, struck dumb by the collective realization of death narrowly and recently avoided.
"Captain, we got scouts."
Avery peered down to where Ponder stood beside the terminal's gate.
"Permission to take them out?"
Usually the terminal had no need for security. Its gate was just a break in a low ironwork fence, framed by 2 lampposts in an antique style, simulated gas lights whose frosted glass chimneys hid ultra-efficient sodium vapor bulbs. The captain had blocked the gate with one of the militia's warthogs, but really the only thing keeping the crowd from rushing the terminal were the Alpha and Bravo squad recruits strung out along the fence. The militiamen wore their olive drab fatigues and helmets, and each carried a loaded MA-5.
"Negative," Ponder looked stiffly up at Avery. "You open fire and you'll start a stampede."
It was difficult to see with his uniform on, but the captain's torso was wrapped in a hardened biofoam cast. The gold-armored alien's hammer had broken half his ribs and shattered his false arm. Ponder had discarded the prosthetic. Healy had neither the time nor the expertise to fix it.
"They're bugs," Avery persisted. "Very mobile."
"Say again?"
"Wings, long legs, the whole bit."
"Weapons?"
"Not that I can see, but they got a view of the whole yard."
"As long as they're just looking, we let them be." Avery gritted his teeth.
"Yes, sir."
The roof shuddered as a cargo container pulled in from the north. The building's eave was just high enough to shelter the container's door, a vacuum-rated rectangular portal built to accommodate heavy Jotun loaders. These giant 3-wheeled forklifts were usually in motion all around the depot, hefting bins onto containers and stacking them inside.
But today, with Mac's assistance, the Marines had arranged the loaders in a staggered line on a patch of rough pavement between the fence and the terminal. Each Jotun had its forks raised halfway up its mast, like soldiers with fixed bayonets. But whether or not this mechanized skirmish line had actually helped keep the crowd under control was difficult to say.
"All right, Das," Ponder said. "Let them through."
The Warthog's engine rumbled as the 1A squad leader eased it backwards on its oversized off-road tires. When four adults could pass side by side between the vehicle's tusk-like tow hooks and the southernmost lamppost, Das hit the brakes.
"Just a reminder, everyone,"
Mac's voice boomed from the terminal's PA.
"The less you push, the faster we can load. Thanks for your cooperation."
Avery could see the AI's avatar shining dimly beside the captain on a portable holoprojector, a mostly plastic model they'd borrowed from the depot's master office. The AI tipped his cowboy hat at the first refugees to step through the gate and motioned them toward the terminal with short sweeps of his arm. As the rest of the crowd surged forward, the militiamen tightened their grips on their rifles.
"How's the primary?"
Ponder asked, referring to the alien warship.
"Same speed, same heading," Avery answered.
"All right. Meet me by the gate. Byrne, you too."
"Sir?"
Byrne asked.
"What about the bugs?"
"Alert your marksmen, then hustle down."
Avery slung his battle rifle over his shoulder. He strode west along the roof's ridgeline, boots compressing its peaked metal flashing with syncopated pops and clangs until he reached a mushroom-shaped ventilation stack.